everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Hollywood Knockbusters. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm going to get into what this stuff is about. But before then, let me introduce my guest for today. I've never had him on. I don't think I've had you on any of my podcasts yet. You know, so this is the first. There's a first time
for
everything.
We're breaking ground today, sir. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. We're recording this on Memorial Day. We're putting it out on Wednesday right after. So it'll be a quick upload. But here I'm with Ryan Wells. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good. How you doing, John?
Doing
How's
great.
How's Hollywood? What part of Hollywood are you living in, bud?
I'm living in San Gabriel.
Okay.
So it's over by Pasadena.
Gotcha.
Area. Yeah. So not a lot of people know where that is. But yeah, that's where I'm living now. So
that just means it's cheap rent, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, pretty good. You know, I'm happy, you know. Cool. I'm happy here. But let's talk. So first of all, I want to make sure people understand this is the second episode of Hollywood Knockbusters. This isn't us like talking about films that are bad or anything. Like I think a lot of people think like this is like a bad film thing. This is more of the films that like I feel like are very underappreciated and didn't get the full like blockbuster kind of feel to it or whatever. And Dead Man on Campus, I discovered this film on video, a cassette, literally video, back when there was a video stores, you know. Yeah. We don't really – I think there's one Blockbuster left in America, and that's even having problems, you know.
Yeah, so, that's up in Alaska, right?
I don't think so. I think it's – I don't think so. I'm not sure. I know the Angry Video Game Nerd went to it, so I think it's in – the regular United States. It's not over in Alaska or Hawaii, but I don't know. I have no idea, but I know it's somewhere, and it's still struggling with the COVID, obviously, because I don't even know if it's technically still open or something because of, you know, but whatever.
I would assume it's not.
I would hope not, because then that means like everything's got to be open, because that's not, no offense, but video rental places are not essential. You know, especially with
streaming.
One thing
I've noticed is that a lot of people aren't paying attention, so
right,
following the rules, so it could be open.
It could be open. So anyway, let's talk about we were talking about our, like, I've discovered it on video cassette. When was the first time you watched Dead Man on Campus?
Probably within a year it came out. It didn't because it came out, what, August of 98. And it's also why it's kind of sentimental to me, because I was a true freshman in college at that point.
Right.
So I remember that was, you know, of course, it's also Hollywood, you know, like older, you know, older actors play like younger characters, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, Zach Morris is playing a kid my age, but I know Zach Morris is a good 5-6 years older than me. You know?
Is he? Is he 5 or 6 years? Wow. He is, isn't he?
Yeah, because – you know, I remember being, like I said, I was 18, but I remember, you know, Saved by the Bell goes back 8-10 years, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I knew they were, you know, I knew them playing 18-year-olds was a bit of a stretch, you know. But then again, I guess he was supposed to be, he was like a Van Wilder, so I guess he was supposed to be a little bit older.
Maybe. Like, his character was, his character was sort of like the Van Wilder, but he was like, I think, because his father actually says, like, you've been leaving all of these – I keep bringing you in all these colleges and you keep flunking out of them. So he's been, there's like more of a story there that they didn't even go into, like, of him as a backstory of Coop, you know, Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, who I love. I love both of those characters to death, and we'll get into them.
It's so well written, but before we talk about it, isn't that something maybe we should come up with? And maybe that's why I've kind of got it. A bad rap, because I'm pretty sure it is a trivia question. I think it is the first feature film to be fully funded and produced by MTV, correct?
Yeah, it was an MTV Films, you know, movie.
So it probably had a lot of expectations and hype. Maybe at the time people, I don't know, that maybe they just weren't feeling like Zach Morris as the lead role, which sucks because he's great in it. He's hysterical. You know?
And also, they have what's his name as the other lead? See, now I've got to pull up things, because I'm really bad.
What's the name of the guy who wrote the screenplay? Because I remember when I talked to Lachlan Monroe at that Scares of Care, he kept on talking, you know, because I was burping up all the quotes, you know, because I love that character. And he kept on going back to
Mike White,
the screenplay. And it was very funny. You know?
Mike White, maybe? Because I know he was one of the writers. And he's gone on to do, he did like Orange County, which also may
movie. Yeah, I love that.
Also may also get on Hollywood Knockbusters because it was not a film that, you know, got a lot of attention and stuff and deserved.
Well, I mean, similar maybe miscasting, right? No one like the, you know, Tom Hanks's son, you know, like he's another character who's harder to root for in your protagonist, you know?
I don't know. But I love that movie. Yeah.
Jack Black is hysterical in it.
Yeah, and Mike White also wrote School of Rock, which also had Jack Black in it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, you know, Mike
that was
White.
A big hit. All right, so that's yeah. Where he got paid. Good for him. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Mike White has been, I mean, and you look at his filmography, he's done a lot of great things. But he's also done he's done films for the studios and TV shows. Like he did Freaks and Geeks. He wrote a couple episodes of that show, which I love. He also wrote The Good Girl with Jennifer Aniston and Jake Gyllenhaal.
I remember. Yeah, that movie was weird. He wrote that? Well, that was definitely not a comedy.
It had comedy in it, but it wasn't like a comedy, you know. It was a drama that had a lot of comedy in it. But he also wrote one of the most fucked up movies that I've ever seen in my life. One that will not be on Hollywood Knockbusters or anything. It was called Chuck and Buck. And I don't know if you ever heard of that movie or not.
No, I don't think so.
It was the movie that that he did before The Good Girl, you know. And it was it was a weird fucking movie. Like you think like The Good Girl was sort of a weird movie too, kind of like.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of.
Well, it was hard to root for anybody. They were all like bad people, you know.
Yeah, all of them were like horrible people. My dad hated that movie, The Good Girl.
Yeah.
Because
I remember watching that movie with my ex-wife, and we kind of looked at each other. We're like, "What the hell was that?" Like, I was.
Yeah. And then one of my friends loves Jennifer Aniston from Friends, and he hated The Good Girl because it really made Jennifer Aniston look like a horrible person, you know. Which I mean, that was the point. But
yeah,
you know, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, the point is to get back to Dead Man on Campus. So Mike White wrote it. Alan Cohn, I think is his name. He directed the film. Alan Cohn, and he did Pump Up the Volume with
Christian Slater.
With Christian Slater, and I think so. Yeah, I think that was his big claim to fame before Dead Man on Campus.
Gotcha.
Oh, wait, no, he didn't. Oh, that was Alan Moyle. That was the guy who did Empire Records, you know.
Oh, okay.
Which is a great movie. What did Alan Cohn do? I get those two mixed up with their names, but he had done. Oh wow, I guess he was a MTV guy. This guy had directed a lot of stuff for MTV. House of Buggin was a TV series, I guess. He was also did. Shasta McNasty, a couple episodes of that. I don't know. I think that was that Comedy Central. Was that MTV?
I don't remember MTV. That. What year was that?
2000 or 1999 to 2000. So it was like, that was like.
Yeah,
right
I
after.
Wasn't. I was wandering around somewhere. I wasn't watching MTV then.
Yes, I think it might have been MTV, but yes, it's Spring Break Lawyer. That definitely sounds like MTV thing. And he also directed 24 episodes of The Man Show. You know, if you remember that with
of course.
Dr. Drew, well, it wasn't Dr. Drew, it was Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel, you know.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, so that's perfect. So he's directed those things, but so he did a lot of TV. This was, I think, his only like real like movie. And unfortunately, it didn't do as well. And so I guess to give an explanation of this movie, explain the synopsis. Basically, it's about these guys who start flunking out of college because they're partying too hard and stuff. And they decide that they're going to bring in a new roommate who, you know, basically make a new roommate so that, and then get somebody completely suicidal so when they kill themselves, they can get straight A's, you know, right? Yeah. The old urban legend, which I don't know if, I don't know if it was actually true that any colleges actually had this or not. I'd never looked it up, you know?
I'm sure there's, you know, I mean, I'm sure there might be some element of truth to it, but.
You know. Yeah.
It's a good pill to swallow, though, you know? Like, you check your brains at the door. It's fun, you know? Mm-hmm. Once you realize it's comedy, you know?
Exactly. Which you talked earlier to me through online, talked about how The Curve was like, the same story. It was kind of made around.
It came out the same year.
So obviously two different companies were, you know, having the same idea or whatever. And it was very similar. It had Matthew Lillard in it. I didn't get a chance to watch that. I know I have it somewhere. And I guess when I go through all my DVDs.
It's dark. It's, you know, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah. And then, what is the next one? So that movie, you know, honestly, I mean, I like the humor in it, you know, because it was very much a college comedy, you know.
Well, that's, you know, like some of the first notes I was writing down, John, and you called me at a great time for this because I just came back from my college alma mater. I haven't been there since the day I graduated 17 years ago, so I have all of this, like, you know, returning as an, you know, as a supposed adult and things like that. And so, like, the everyday, like, dorm life, I thought was very dead on. Like, if you see the montage, you know, with the chubby Italian kid who's being mean to his parents, you know, like.
Really? Remember, is that, like, something that actually
I remember that atmosphere of, like, 18-year-old college, like, kids who are on their own for the first time. And, like, their parents, like, miss them and show up for college weekend. And their kids are usually, they usually kind of treat them like crap because, like, I've been on my own for 3.5 weeks and you don't need to tell, you know, that type of stuff. And like, yeah, that was just something.
What was that line? Like something about flannel sheets. Hey, you're going to.
Yeah. You want September. What am I going to sweat my ass off? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was so great. And that's the one thing about this movie that I absolutely adore is that it's one of those films where I can quote almost every single line in the movie. Like, I might not have seen it in, like, a few months or years or something, and I still know every quote. I can quote it to the fucking TV.
Well, I dated myself because I saw it a lot, like, when it first came out, but watching it tonight, you know, because I downloaded Crackle and I watched it, you know, I watched it 2 hours ago. Yeah, it was free on Crackle. Yeah.
Nice. So anybody wants to go see it.
If you got it. You know, Crackle's cool, but you got to watch a lot of ads. But it's free. But I forgot that Allison Hannigan was the small part. You know, she was one of the girl's friends there. You know, from the American Pie movies and How I Met Your Mother.
Well,
that was her before. That was even before the first American Pie. You know.
Here's some trivia you probably don't know. So Jason Segel's in the movie as well. He plays the third roommate or whatever.
Yes.
Who kind of starts dating Linda Carnalini in that in her part where she's the girl with the cross. A year later, they did Freaks and Geeks together where they played boyfriend and girlfriend as well. They were also real life dating each other. They were also engaged at one point. And then Linda Carnalini broke it off. And guess what movie got written based on that situation?
Where he goes to Hollywood. What the hell is that movie?
Well, it goes to Hawaii. Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, the one with Russell Brand, right?
Yeah, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So
That's right. I forgot the name of the movie. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good movie.
So, great movie. But, like, it was based on sort of real events that actually happened between Jason Segel and Linda Cardellini, which, I mean, I think obviously, you know, over-exaggerated and all that fun stuff. But, you know, it was pretty much the story of when he was living with, living with Linda, and I think literally, if I remember the commentary correctly, that scene where the towel coming off you know, and everything. Well, he's trying to, like,
I remember him saying in an interview that that really happened. He
that really
did,
happened,
like,
yeah. Break,
like, that girl dumped him when he was naked, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I love that kind of shit. Like, I love when people take, yeah. like, real-life events and they make, you know, put stuff in the movies, you know, for it. So, it was great. So, yeah, so it was really funny to have both of them in the movie. Also, with Mike White, who wrote for Freaks and Geeks. So there's a lot of Freaks and Geeks people in it. And then Jason Segel and Allison Hannigan became husband and wife in, or whatever, in, and How I Met Your Mother. So there you go. See, I mean, it all kind of comes, you know, full circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but, so that movie has that, and the girl who plays the main girl, she was on, like, I think Criminal Minds, I want to say. You know I'm talking about? Poppy Montgomery?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Is she on Criminal Minds? Without a Trace. I'm sorry. She was on Without a Trace, which is, I think, one of those Criminal Minds type shows, you know?
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, so you've got... some great cast here. Also, you have to make mention Lachlan Monroe, who you said you and I both met at Scares I Care.
Yeah.
One of the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, he was cool.
Oh, yeah. Did he remember your name every time you came up and talked to him?
I think he did. I ran into him like in a brunch the next day, things like that. Yeah, I went back twice to talk to him because I remember I ran into him and I was like, oh, let me go get my wallet. So, like, I made an order, you know, I made, yeah. Yeah, he was cool.
I bought a picture with him, and I got his autograph.
I did,
say.
Too. I got an autograph, you know, yeah, you know what line I had him?
What, which one? Which
you know
one?
What line he signed? It was a black and white photo of him when he was humping the couch.
Right.
And it was just like, Ryan, they can suck my quiet cock.
Oh,
yes.
For real? That's awesome. Mine was Jonathan. My name is Cliff, brother of Joe. I got me some crack. Yeah. I want me some hoes.
And it says that on the tombstone.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. That's true. That he does say that at the end. Of, you know, so it's those little things you don't notice in the first times that you're watching it, but you notice it later, you know, if you watch it multiple times. And this film is so good that it deserves, like, multiple viewings, I think, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what I just kind of remembered when you were talking about it kind of got maybe just lost in the slipstream that is the summer of 1998. I remember there, you know, Armageddon, Deep Impact.
Yeah.
I might be a week or two off, but I believe a movie called Saving Private Ryan was released right around the same time.
Probably,
so kinda,
yeah.
You know, maybe
that sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, yeah. So
that's some tough competition, you know?
Well, that was the thing. Like, I feel like, though, the people that watch Dead Man on Campus aren't the same people that are going to be watching, you know, Saving Private Ryan or something, you know, necessarily. Some might, you know, there might be a little bit of a thing there, but I think mostly they don't, you know. So you know, it was interesting. I like I liked Mark Paul Gosselaar in it. I liked Tom Everett Scott in the film. Tom Everett Scott hadn't really been a big name at that time yet, because I don't know, like, it might be the same year that this came out that American Werewolf in Paris came out.
Yep.
You know, 1998. Yep. So I think he was kind of becoming a name. And the only other thing he had done that got him on the map was, to go back to Tom Hanks, was That Thing You Do.
Yeah. You know? That Thing
I think
You
Colin,
Do.
Yep. Colin Hanks was in it too. So I think as a small, you know, small tiny part, but, you know, I think Tom put his son in his movie, you know. But yeah, I think that if you look at it, you look at what, you know, that whole thing of both, all of them being in that film, it kind of all just worked, right? Did you hear me?
I'm sorry, what was that last thing?
I said,
Very loud frogs out there.
Oh, okay. No, it's okay. What I was saying is, like, I think with everything that kind of came to be with it, it all worked, you know, for the film, right? Like, everybody coming together, it was sort of a perfect storm, And the movie was hilarious, you know. Like I said, there's a million great lines. We have mainly done by Lachlan Monroe. He kind of stole the movie. As my brother says, because my brother's watched this movie with me before, and he has said that he doesn't like the main two guys. He likes all the supporting characters that are in it, you know. Yeah. And but I still think that the two main guys have some great lines, like Mark Paul Gosselaar with the stethoscope putting it on his penis, and he said, "I can hear my heartbeat through my penis." I remember you saying you had some notes. Were there any particular things you felt like you wanted to discuss?
You know, like what I say, like I said, it reminded me of like when I was going away to college, dorm life, the kids being like rude to their parents. The freshman Facebook, you know, jack-a-lacking around to it. I remember that was a quote that circled around my friends for a very long time.
Oh, for real? Because they watched the movie?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, like you forget, like, especially if you got old buddies that you hung out with, like when I was, you know, this was around the time I was working at a video store for $5 an hour. And I, you know, I had a key to the store and I could watch all the friggin' movies I watched. So we watched bad movies, unknown, you know, so we were on top of all that. And just the quotes, you know, just like when he's in the bar and he's trying to buy the beer with a fake ID, you know, and the bartender he's like, just take it.
Yeah. All the different fake IDs that he had. He had, it was hilarious. I loved it. Like everything in this movie had so many, like I said earlier, watching this film, I can quote every single line, you know, having not seen it in years.
Organic chemistry, the impossible discipline.
Exactly. Well, actually, what was the line about, if you bring chocolates, you know, now we're in business. I always thought he said joblets or something. And I was like, what the hell is a joblet? You know, but he said, but then I put on the captions, the subtitles, and it said chocolates. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. You bring chocolates in, you know, now he's in business.
Right.
Just the whole, I don't know. I think one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, well, other than all the scenes with Lachlan Monroe are the funniest things. And I mean, that once you get to him, like, that's when, like, things just get, like, freaking crazy. But, like, before then, when they're, like, going around looking for the, inside the, what is it, the wellness place, the looking for the folders and everything, that scene was just hysterical. What would you say your favorite scene is of the film? I mean,
probably when Lachlan's going on just one of those rants, you know, the kick me in the junk, you know, all that stuff.
I think
vehicular manslaughter, he was just so over the top, you know, he just kept on getting crazier and crazier.
Which one of these is for me? That line when he was talking about which one of these?
I'm a gentleman.
I set a line up. See, yeah, every when I asked Lachlan about that, I said, how did you play this? Like, how did you end up playing this character kind of like the way you did? And he goes, lots and lots of coffee. He said, nowadays it would be energy drinks and stuff or whatever. But, you know, back then they didn't have energy drinks. So he just had to drink a lot of coffee to get him like hyped up like that. You know,
have a certain amount of caffeine in him. You got to start, you know, humping lamps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, I was like, I want to hump these loops. I'm going to hump this couch. You know, like, that movie is, oh, man. Like I said, I could quote probably. I probably know every line from the beginning to end, starting with don't lose it in the beginning with him talking to the lady or whatever. And, you know, getting his, his pass or whatever, his ID card.
Yeah.
You know. Which, I mean, this is an ultimate, like, this was, like, supposed to be, like, the Animal House of the 90s, you know, kind of thing. Mm. Another movie that I might put on this year's, I've talked about it with a lot of people, that I might put on this year's Hollywood Knockbusters is PCU, you know.
Good movie.
Yeah, which also did not get any kind of a, didn't get the attention it deserved.
Yeah, that came out in 94, yeah.
Yeah, and... I know we just did Encino Man, which also
great movie.
Yeah, great movie. But also stars Megan Ward. And so Megan Ward, like at that particular time, had done like three or four movies back to back that were just like fucking greatest, like underappreciated movies I'd ever seen. PCU, yeah. Encino Man. I think there was one more. I know she did Freaked, but I don't think that was it. But she had done one other movie, and I love her to death.
Wasn't she in Higher Learning?
Was she?
Remember that movie Higher Learning with the Michael Rapaport plays the school shooter at the end?
She might have been.
It wasn't a comedy.
I know. I know Christy Swanson's in it. Jennifer Connelly was
maybe
in it.
Maybe I'm mixing them up then. Maybe.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly was in it. And okay. Christy Swanson. So, yeah, you're probably mixing them up. But, Megan Ward had done PCU. I know she had also done, like, Trancers 2 and 3 and Arcade. Arcade was the other one, too, that I really liked in the 90s. But we're doing that for Indie Film Cafe, so get ready for that. You never saw that movie? It's great. It's a great indie film. She had done Freaked in 93 and PCU in 94, the Brady Bunch movie. You know, I didn't know she was in that because I never saw that. You know, because I had no interest in the Brady Bunch.
Oh, that's a funny movie. Brady Bunch is funny.
I never liked the Brady Bunch, to be honest.
Well, no, but that's the whole plot, John. The Brady Bunch are the Brady Bunch, but the rest of the world is the rest of the world.
Right.
So, like, what's funny is how normal people treat how they act. It's funny.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe I'll have to watch it. Maybe it's an underappreciated gem as well. I don't know. So there's so many great movies that are just like this where they came out. And they probably just didn't do well in the box office. And a lot of people don't talk about these movies much, you know? Like, I never hear anybody talk about Dead Man on Campus. I never hear anybody talk about Only the Strong, you know? I never hear anybody talk about what else. I'll mention online right now what my other plans were. Empire Records, like right after Only the Strong. Great movie. Soy Marin Axe Murder.
That's a good one, sure.
And then, I think I've got a couple other ones that I'm gonna end up getting, you know. But, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where we don't know, you know, if this movie's going to do well or not, period. When you look at a Hollywood movie, you have no idea if this movie's going to be any good.
It's a gamble.
It's a gamble. But
it's a gamble.
This movie, I think, is hilarious. And I feel like more people should watch it, you know. So now that it's on Crackle and everybody can see it, go fucking watch it. You know, like I didn't even know that. I bought it on Amazon, for like, I don't know, $10, whatever it was, for forever, you know? So I've got that. Yeah.
I had my VHS from forever ago, but that's, you know, the time of me having racks and racks of VHS tapes is long gone.
Right. And the other one I've got also on Amazon is Mallrats. And so I don't know if that would be a Hollywood knockbuster necessarily. I feel like that's a Film Freaks movie because everybody loves that. Like, it's got a huge, it didn't do well in the box office.
To a famed director, it's not going to get lost in the shuffle like this.
Yeah, it doesn't get lost. That's the thing. Like, I feel Soy Marin Axe Murderer sometimes gets lost. People know it and quote it. Or whatever, but there's like a lot of people have never heard of it, you know, out there.
Yeah.
So there's just some movies. I think one time I wanted to do Suburban Commando. I love that movie. You've ever seen that one?
With Hulk Hogan?
Yeah. That's a classic. And nobody talks about it. Sure. But it's actually really good, you know. It's goofy and silly.
I remember seeing snippets of it. I don't remember the synopsis at all.
So that's another one. So there's a ton of movies that I'll end up, you know, having, you know, on the show. And the beauty is now I can do Zoom. So all people have to do is find it on their own and then watch it if they want to rewatch it. Or if you're like me and seen Dead Man on Campus a million times, you could probably talk about a million things of it. You know, I did rewatch it recently and to show my roommate. And she absolutely loved it. And she had never seen it before or heard of it, you know. And that's why I was like, damn, I got to put this on Hollywood Knockbusters, because this is something that, like, not a lot of people are aware about, you know. I guess let's talk about a little bit more into the film itself. So, you know, we've got Allison Hannigan with the group of friends. She kind of didn't, it almost felt like she was the oddball out, you know, and stuff of the group, right?
Well, you got to have an awkward girl that's going to entertain talking to Lachlan Monroe for more than 30 seconds, right?
Right. Like, I remember, like, where he was like, so who wants a hit? And then she was like, you know, right? It's like, what about you? Like, that scene where she lights her hair on fire. I mean, she was just great. And
another thing I never paid attention to much when I was younger, and it made me crack up when I just watched it, was after in the movie, after she set her hair on fire, like, her wig was always, like, misplaced and just hysterical, you know, and she's not losing a step, right? She's still the same goofy girl. I thought that cracked me up at rewatching it. I was like, oh my God, her wig.
Well, even at one point, the friend of hers, I guess, I don't know if she's a roommate or something, but her friend looks over and goes, Lucy, your wig, or whatever, right? And she was like, so she had to, like, straighten her wig out. I thought that was pretty funny. I don't know. I thought, or also one of the greatest lines of that part is where she's like, these are my home girls. You know, that's what they say where you're from, right?
In the hood. Yeah.
That joke would not fly today. Would not fly. Nobody,
no,
everybody would
be
offended by it or something or whatever. I don't know. People are offended by everything.
Cute, ignorant white chicks were more palatable back in the late 90s, I guess.
I know. And then she later, like, she became Jason Segel's husband in How I Met Your Mother. And her character was sort of like a completely different character than, like, Lucy from Dead Man on Campus or the Pan Camp girl from American Pie, which, once again, American Pie will not be on Hollywood Knockbusters or something, because that got too big, you know, and everything got sequels. Yeah. And it's maybe, I don't even think it'll be a film freaks, because it's not the greatest movie, you know what I mean? You know, like, it's okay. It's great. I mean, it's fun, you know.
Oh, you talk about American Pie?
Yeah. Their first
it like hit a zeitgeist, you know. It was funny, but yeah, see, that's a movie that if you rewatch that, I not so much the first one, but I remember later in life, like, I watched the second one and it was like 15, 20 years later, it was awful, you know.
Really? You think so? I actually like the second one better. I actually will watch the second one before I'd watch
when they go to Michigan and they're, like, on the lake.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's because it just felt it wasn't high school, because honestly, as an adult now watching high school movies, I feel really creepy, you know. Like, you watch these movies like Porky's, right? Now I know these are the high school in the 80s or something, you know, but good God, seeing, like, these girls who are supposed to be teenagers getting undressed and shit, like underage teenagers getting undressed and stuff, just does not, it just makes me feel all weird. I don't know. I don't like it. So American Pie had that feeling too, because they were high school seniors. So some of them may have been still supposed to be quote unquote 17, you know, even though they're obviously in their 20s or 30s, you know, playing those roles, you know, just like we talked about how, you know, Mark Paul Gosselaar might've been close to 30 when he played.
Well, I believe our guy Lachlan Monroe quotes it in another movie he was in called Scary Movie, where they make fun of the fact that people in their mid-20s are playing high school kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, the first Scary Movie.
Yep. And that was hilarious that he was in Scary Movie 1. I don't know if he was in 2, but he was definitely...
No, he was just in the first one.
But I think, wasn't he also in Scream 4? Or something
that I don't remember. Scream 4?
Yeah,
I think I saw that. That was with when Macaulay Culkin's brother in that one. I saw that one once. I don't remember it that much.
Yeah, I think he was, because then if that's true, if he was, Let me look that up. Because, whoa, he was in Supernatural? Whoa, I need to watch Supernatural again. Season 12.
I don't know if you're watching me on Facebook. I went back to my college town. If I could drop in, Wes Craven was a professor in my college town, and I did live on Elm Street. That eventually inspired Nightmare on Elm Street. There's a very loose connection with my college.
Oh, town. For real? That's awesome.
Yep.
That is really.
He didn't go to college. He didn't teach at the college I went to, but there were two colleges in the town, but you know, they shared the same town, and that was Elm Street. Yeah. And he filmed, they recently demolished like the first film he made, like with some of his film students in like 1968 or something. It was an old North Country house on 18 Elm Street. And it wasn't you know, like it was auctioned off and it was demolished. But yeah, there is a loose, the town, you know, the town I went to is called Potsdam. And they say in the original Nightmare on Elm Street, the town was called Madstop, which is Potsdam spelled backwards. So,
okay, yeah. He wasn't in Scream 4, but he was in Freddy versus Jason. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's awesome that you're that you grew up like, or you went to school like around where.
I went to college there. Yeah.
Yeah, college where you're on that street. So he actually was on an Elm Street.
Elm Street.
You lived on an Elm Street.
I mean, you could take it with a grain of salt. There's an Elm Street in almost every town, but.
Well, even Freddy says that.
He was there before he was famous. He was his original, you know, his first, you know, it all comes back to that, you know, when he was hungry and writing, you know.
That's awesome. That's great. And to go back to, like, you know, Dead Man on Campus, like, if you think about it, that was, like, the perfect, you going to your college town, that was like the perfect college movie too. So like you said before, you watching you know, that with your college roommates or college friends and just quoting it because, like, you know, it fits to what you're doing, what you're dealing with at this particular time. So that is awesome.
One of the few things I wrote on my note here that we didn't talk about is I just wrote three words. I wrote sex pot montage. And it talks about, like, the realism of how easily you can get distracted, like, when you're away at college the first time, you know, you're in a dorm and things like that. And once he realized that girl liked him, you know, I thought that was hysterical. You know, like, how many people lost their virginity that way? They're at a party. The girl's like, nah, come on, this way, you know?
It's this way. And then
he was like, it was so – and then he does that line. He starts smoking the joint with Cooper, and he's just like, it was so easy. It's like, we're going to have sex now. Prepare for sex, you know?
Yeah.
And that whole montage, and then how quickly we, all right, now he's in trouble, you know?
Well, you know, that made me wonder if Josh had actually been like a virgin at that particular time and stuff and everything. I mean,
I would assume.
Right, because he was like, it was so easy, you know?
What's that?
He was like, it was so easy. And then he was like, to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know? It was great. Oh, man. There's so many great lines in that movie. Honestly, I adored the film, period. Like, I don't think there was anything bad in it. Like, all the characters were hilarious. The directing was great. You know, there was no awkwardness. We didn't even talk about the other two guys, too. There was the guy that was always paranoid, that Bill
the paranoid
Gates was,
guy. Yeah.
Was coming after him, and then there was the rock star who was actually
the musician guy. Yeah. Singing, and then he's
singing
cabaret. Yeah. He ends up being a phony.
Yeah, he ends up being a phony. He was actually not British, because that was one of the best lines. Is you can't be depressed if you're singing show tunes. And look at me, I'm very fucking depressed. And he's like, you are a poser. And he was like, I am not a poser. And then was the guy's like, oh, you're not even British. He just like walks off. You know, like, oh, that scene. And then the Bill Gates guy putting the kebab at the end with Coop, with him coming up and going, you know, don't trust this guy. He's, you know.
You'll never get laid. Yeah.
You'll never get laid or whatever. You know, the revolution is coming. Follow me.
The revolution will not be televised. Yeah.
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 Oh my God. And that guy,
again, all characters you run into on a college campus.
Really? We
all went to school with somebody like that. You know, we went to school with somebody that was being a poser because, you know, he's trying to get laid. Or you go to, you're hanging with the guy that's too paranoid and he's just, you know, he everything's a conspiracy and all that. And the same thing with Lachlan Monroe. Everyone knew that, like, just drunken frat guy that was just absolutely nuts and would fall out of windows and, you know, just do crazy things like that.
Yeah. So another movie that I had thought about putting on Hollywood Knockbusters that I think I'm thinking about not, because they are talking about remaking it, so it's getting a lot more attention again than what, you know, I thought. But it was Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which is a great movie.
Dishes and, are done, man.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote a live musical about that, like with that theme, and they added some music to it. Obviously, I never heard about it again. It didn't become a big hit, but like,
yeah,
somebody wrote an off-Broadway musical with that premise.
With Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead as a premise? Nice.
Yep.
They did Evil Dead the musical, so, I mean, they can do a musical on anything, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I might put it on there, but like the problem now that it's getting a lot more attention again, and so I feel like it is one of those films.
Making another one of them, huh?
They're thinking about it.
Is Christina Applegate going to play the mother?
Oh, and it's going to be diverse, apparently. I don't know what that means. Like, does that mean that it's going to be a different race that has the thing? Because I think that's what they're going for, which it still works for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I'm excited. Like, I think that Dead Man on Campus deserves, like, a Blu-ray, you know, treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with some audio commentary and some other stuff. Especially, like, ones that like go in depth of the what it took to actually write it or direct it or whatever, you know, like the film. Because I do want to know some more stuff. Like, if I had the power to do it, I think Paramount owns the rights. And that's probably why it's never like, because it never did well enough for a Blu-ray, you know, and everything. Mm. But I feel like this movie deserves one.
I agree.
Like, maybe, what's that company? Shout Factory? If Shout Factory could do that, that would be awesome. So that's something I would suggest to them if I could, because it deserves some kind of re-release with some extra features and things. But maybe it hasn't happened one because, like, it just didn't do well, you know, period. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I guess...
A lot of times it's the lawyers getting in the way, you know? Especially if it's... You know, it just might be in a different category where it wasn't bought by a bigger company over the course of 20-something years, you know.
Maybe. No idea. I just know that it's sad because I feel like this movie deserves the, you know, special edition treatment and things, because the movie itself just on DVD just is bare bones, which is fine. I mean, I'm happy to have the movie, but, you know, I would rather see it on, you know, a Blu-ray or whatever in high definition. I think that would be fantastic, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to be about wraps up. Was there anything that we didn't discuss? You know,
well, my girlfriend scribbled down on a piece of paper because she's listening, and she wanted to ask about the movie Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Ooh, that's a good one. I think that's a cult following and stuff.
It's cult following. I got to say, I don't think I've ever seen it in its entirety. Like, I know the premise and the plot, and I've seen like snippets of it, but I don't think I know it's like people that love it, love it.
Yeah. People what's that like Heather Matarazzo.
No, wasn't. What was her name again? She's a good actress.
The girl, the character, are you saying?
No. What was her name? She played DJ's girlfriend on Roseanne.
I didn't know that, but.
Yeah, it was like the last season when everyone stopped watching Roseanne.
Are you talking about the girl who played Dawn Wiener, or are you talking about somebody else, another character?
Yeah, she was the main character. What the heck is her name?
Her name's Heather Matarazzo.
Heather Matarazzo, that's yeah. It. Heather Matarazzo.
And
she was in 54. She's good. She's good.
Yeah, she was in 54. She was in Devil's Advocate. She was in Scream 3.
That with John? John, you talk about a movie that's been 54?
54, that's a good one. Yeah.
That movie was – well, that movie had a lot of issues in production. Apparently, like, there's a lot of cut footage of that. And you talk about a movie that should have, like, a big, you know, behind-the-scenes thing, 54. The script was completely butchered. It was supposed to be a lot more risque. They were, like, you know, like, just sex orgies and homosexuality became, like, larger parts of the script, and it was eventually cut down. So much to the point that Neve Campbell, like, was pissed off that she had to, like, do reshoots and stuff, and Neve Campbell didn't promote the movie and anything like that. Like, it was there was a consensus that that movie was kind of, you know, like, not handled well. But
well, another
I'm going off track a bit. I'm sorry.
Well, no, yeah, but another movie,
a good movie to check out.
Another movie like that is Cursed. You ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
And that had actual, you know, it was the werewolf movie or whatever on, with the huge cast, but it even had a completely different cast in some things. And then they had to redo reshoots and completely change the cast up. So there's actually two different movies that could be cut into some, you know, like they could release two different movies. And, but unfortunately it's owned by Dimension, which is owned by Harvey Weinstein, and it's not looking like we'll probably get anything new or, you know, reissued or anything coming from that company ever again. So it's gone most of it. But, you know, it was interesting because, like, I would love to have seen both cuts and stuff, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? If somebody could put that up there, that'd be awesome. But yeah, that movie I wouldn't put on here because that movie is not loved by a lot of people. So, you know, it doesn't get the same feeling. But anyway, I don't think I put a lot of horror on here, you know, honestly, because I feel like horror is hit or miss as far as things go. Like, people either really, really love it or they really hate it or they did, you know, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I would never do that for Hollywood Knockbusters, I don't think, unless it was a specific horror film that should have been, you know, should have been a bigger hit than it was, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, no problem, man. This was fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have you on another episode. It sounds like I've got a plenty to choose from because it sounds like every time I said something, you're like, I love that movie. So, you know, right? So I'll definitely have you back on for a special guest on another one soon.
Sure.
Let me know. I guess we'll just figure out what movie and we'll figure out what we can do for that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anytime.
So what have you been up to lately?
Well, I mean, I'm in Richmond, you know, I'm living with my girlfriend Gig, and, you know, I mean, I haven't really had to work much since what's been going on. So, you know,
plenty of time for podcasts.
Right?
You should start a podcast.
I've been listening to a lot of Bob Dylan. I've been, you know, doing a lot of things outside, and, you know, I just went up to New York. I went up on vacation in New York, hung out with my buddy for a while, and, you know, so I've been doing a lot of that. Been doing, you know, been hitting up a lot of cemeteries, been doing my Graveyard Geeks.
Yeah, how's that going?
From New York, went, what's that?
How's that going, the Graveyard Geeks?
Good. Bought my buddy Jason a good, expensive digital camera for his birthday last week, and it was kind of a selfish gift. I was like, all right, dude, we'll learn how to video edit so I can get the YouTube page up and running again.
Awesome,
you know, really
dude.
Let us know about it.
And we'll promote it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. I wanted to do one with you while you were, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's great you're in California. I remember I was going to, you know, like I've been going around to like slave cemeteries in Williamsburg, and there's some great stuff right there in town, you know, and I,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to want to start doing like on-screen guests and, you know.
Did you see the one that's behind the neighborhood? Like there's an actual
in
neighborhood.
Williamsburg?
No, it's in Williamsburg. but it's like mm-hmm. you have to go through this neighborhood, and then it's mm-hmm. behind the neighborhood is the graveyard. It's really interesting because yeah. that's where we shot The Invited, and that's where we shot the cemetery scenes and this Echo Lake thing we were doing. So
cool.
Yeah, it's huge. That's why we did it, because like it's so big that you can't really get mm-hmm. into too much trouble, because people, you know, won't be bothering you because it's just too big.
Yeah. But, it's a great place for social distancing. That's much. That's why stay away from the cemetery. Thing is open is cemeteries. You know.
That's funny. So if you guys want to social distance, go to a cemetery. Well, all right. Well, thank you so much. And when you come out to LA, if you ever come out here, let's hit up a LA cemetery. There's plenty.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
So, all right, man. Well, you have
John,
good
talking to you, bud.
Good talking to you too.
All right, buddy.
And we'll have you guys all back on later. All right. Have a good
one. Sounds good.
All right.
All right. Thanks, John. Bye.
Later. Bye.
Later.